next year and the year after that, and perhaps even the year after that. And that comes on top of $330,000 in cuts in university funding that we have already absorbed over the last 3 years. We don't know what we'll be getting from the state of Illinois. We don't even know what we get from the federal government. So what we're trying to do is hold the line against shrinking funding and maintain the kind of service that you have come to rely on. Now, that's all kind of grim news, but there is some good news in all of this, and that is that you can make a difference. You don't have to let this situation stand. People who listen to WYLL can really make the difference very easily by making a financial contribution. If you are already a friend of the station, and there have been people who have supported us very loyally for a long time, we want to say to you thanks very much. And if it's time for you to renew your membership, we hope that you will do that. If you are one of those people that, for whatever reason, has been listening for however long and not made a contribution, and we know that's, you know, maybe as many as 8 or 9 out of every 10 people who listen do not support the station, it would mean a lot to us if you would today become a member of this organization we call the Friends of WYLL. These are the people who are our financial supporters, and it's very important for us to grow that organization, enlarge that base of support over time. Perhaps you could sign on just at the basic membership level, which is $40, $40 a year. Maybe you could go to the member card level, which is 75. Maybe you could do it a little bit more. That is up to you. The first decision, though, that you have to make is, yes, I'm going to be a financial supporter of the station. And to do that, you just give us a phone call. Take a couple of minutes. And as I said, it'll mean a lot to us and to the future of the station that you depend on. Here's the number, 244-9455. 217 is the area code if it would be a long-distance call for you. And we'd really appreciate it. We're here midweek in our fundraising effort for this spring, and we're hoping by the time it's all over that we can raise at least $150,000. We're making pretty good progress, but we really need to hear from some more folks. So 244-9455, that's the number. We hope that today will be the day that you will join in and to be a supporter of public radio. This can also be the day for you to call in on this program. The number is different from that pledging number. No one will expect you to pledge if you want to talk to Doyle. It'd be nice if you did, but it's not required. And that number is, same as always, 333-9455. We do also have that toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. And welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
Glad to have you here. This, in a way, this is kind of an extension of what we were talking about last time.
Well, it is, because some of the things that we discussed were very important, and I dug into them some more, and I also have been sort of working and playing with as you know, I'm a fan of whole wheat. But
yes.
I'm a fan of whole wheat because it is being constantly shown that the fiber and the content of a whole wheat mixture is beneficial, both for, well, I think there are even some cancer concerns that the fiber takes care of, and the whole and whole wheat doesn't have the refined wheat problem of turning into sugar as fast for diabetics, and so it's advised that you have this, and bread companies all. One of the things that has happened with bread companies is that many people are going on the low-carb diet, they're not buying bread and they're not eating bread. So the bread companies are saying, help, help, what do we do? Well, they happen to be putting out then some extraordinarily good whole wheat bread. There's more available now as a good bread. I'm ecstatic about a Pepperidge Farm English muffin. That's 100% whole wheat.
Really?
Absolutely wonderful. Hmm. It's Pepperidge Farm. And that's less than 4 or 5 months old. And things like that are happening. But then also I want to get my own habits into using less of the refined flour because of its turning into sugar quality. So one of my projects was, well, I'm going – now you can buy – good whole wheat pasta. It does exist. There are some that's not very good, but in the last, again, in the last 6 months, they've turned the product around, and it's really not only tolerable, it's desirable. It really tastes good, and it cooks right, and it isn't like trying to do something with cardboard.
See, that's my point. I have not tried whole wheat pasta in a long time.
Yes.
And when I had it last...
You said you'd never have it again. Exactly.
I said,
absolutely.
This is awful.
Yes,
why would anybody want to eat this?
Well... we kind of have to.
Well, I can understand that some people would say, if I'm going to have pasta, this is going
now,
to be
now, there is this is a little off to the side, but dealing with the pasta, there is a pasta made out of spelt. And spelt is a very ancient wheat. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't have exactly the same qualities as wheat, and that refinement process doesn't exist, and the characteristic of it is it doesn't turn into sugar as readily as the refined wheats. But you can get a very, very good spelt pasta. I get that at Strawberry Fields. They always are keeping it there for me. So there's that, and that works quite well. But I do like this new, I think it's called Heartland. It's in a black box, and it's available here in town, the pasta. But I want to make my own because I like making pasta. Mm-hmm. So I said, I am going to make a whole wheat pasta, and it's going to work. So naturally, what did I do? I called one of my sisters who works for the Kansas Wheat Commission. And she said, oh, don't put any white flour in it. Use all whole wheat. I said, okay. Why won't it stick together? She said, add a little bit of gluten. So gluten is the product that when you're kneading bread, it turns into glue, literally. Mm-hmm. And that's what holds the bread together and allows the gas bubbles to puff up and kind of blow them up like balloons. So gluten is... But you see, gluten is another problem, and there's a listener who has asked that we discuss gluten one of these days because there are a lot of gluten-insensitive individuals who cannot then eat any kind of wheat bread that has gluten in it. And here I am saying putting the gluten in. Well, you pick your problem and then you deal with it, I guess. But I developed a nice big pasta noodle to go with some with a carbonade that I made, which is a beef that is cooked in beer. There's just beef and beer and onions. That's all there is to it. And it cooks and cooks and cooks. And I wanted that over noodles, but I didn't want to buy the dry noodles, and the others don't work. So I'm going to make it. Here's what I did. Mm-hmm. 2 cups of whole wheat flour, and I only had 1 egg, so that's all right. One egg, 1 tablespoon of olive oil. But when you're using whole wheat flour, you have to use more liquid. So instead of only 1/2 cup of water to make this pasta dough, it took 3/4 cup of water because the bran does soak up the liquids, and it takes a little bit of time. If you have ever tried to make whole wheat bread in your bread machine, I didn't know this. I got a new bread machine. Oh boy, I'm going to make a whole wheat loaf of bread. Punch on, nothing happened. Punch on, nothing happened. Turn it off, turn it back on, beep, 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 punch on, nothing happened. In a teeny-weeny line of type way in the back of the instruction book, it says, when you're making whole wheat, it stays quiet for 1/2 hour because it's soaking up the water and heating up the water. It's soaking and heating up the water in the bread machine. But they don't tell you that in the instructions for making the I really almost had it back in the box and back at the shop and say, this doesn't
Something's
work.
Wrong with
Something's
this
wrong with this thing. But it does you do need more liquid and wait a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Because when I make pasta, not as much as I would like to because it's really good. I think the recipe that I'm using it's from Marcello Hazan, and I think I remember right, all it's got in it is flour and egg. Maybe it's got a little salt in it. No, I'm not sure.
No, not even.
I think it's just egg and flour. That's
egg
all.
And flour. I included the oil. There's an argument as to whether you should or shouldn't, but anyway, the oil were. Because the characteristic of whole wheat is that there is no gluten, and so you don't get a rubbery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, 13 times through the pasta machine, you know, to do that kneading. It was as soft and pliable. I was absolutely ecstatic about it. And not only that, but the friends that I had cooked this for are, when can we get together and make more pasta? Because we're going to make it and freeze it.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Now, when you were here one time not very long ago, you brought in and gave me a little bit of this flour that you like that's white whole wheat flour.
Oh, white whole wheat flour.
Were you using that or were you using
Oh, no, I was using white whole wheat. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a new fan of it, and it's a new product, and it is a little bit finer, just a little finer than the red whole wheat. The red whole wheat is a little, it isn't as fine. I don't know why. It's called hard white wheat. And it's the latest product to be grown, and it's grown only in Kansas, at least for United States production. It's grown only in Kansas and in the central part and in the western part of Kansas,
mm-hmm.
because the other two parts, the north central and the east, grow two different other kinds of wheat. But the white whole wheat is what I have become a fan of using, and it's available in this town, believe it or not. I was sort of stunned when I found it at Meijer's. It may be somewhere else. I'm not sure. Whoever else would sell King Arthur. King Arthur sells white whole wheat. Of course, mm-hmm. I find that they buy the white whole wheat from Kansas, but they don't say that, but I happen to know that they do because I was at the mill one day and I saw their truck. And I asked the guy, do you make the white wheat for them? Oh, no. I thought, I've touched a little nerve here. I'll be quiet, but not too much. It's a good Kansas product. So you go to Kansas, buy the wheat, take it home to Vermont and make your own white whole wheat. I have two numbers I would like to give to some folks.
Sure.
Get your pencils out, everybody. This is the website for King Arthur flour. You can find it on the flour package, but www.kingarthurflour, all one word, KINGARTHURFLOUR.com. And if you want to call them on the telephone, it is 1-800-827-6836, and they have a lot of information, and they will. I think I'm not sure if they will send you the product, but as I say, we can buy it in this particular area. And then the other number I want to give you is HUDSONCREAM, Hudson Cream, with a capital H and a capital C, and it also all runs together, .com. So it's www.hudsoncream.com. And if you want to call them, their number is 1-800-530-5640. And it's out in the middle of a Kansas wheat field, and it's been there 150 years, and and the man who is in charge of it now is 85 years old, and he's been working since he was a young man there. I mean, he's been that business all that time. And I said something about availability. They said, "We'll send it to you. Call, and we'll send it to you, whatever you need." So it isn't a high-powered business where everyone is so busy they can't do anything. Oh, We'll send her. They've got flour. They've got flour in the room next to them. And they go out. They put it in a box, package it up, call the shipper, and send it off. I mean, it is done instantly. I got so excited about that someone will pay attention to your need of, I need a 5-pound bag of this flour. So that's Hudson Cream. And, ooh, you try it once. If you have any relatives in West Virginia, they ship a lot of Hudson Cream self-rising flour to Virginia. I found it very peculiar. I mean, it's almost a single market for the self-rising flour.
We would be happy to hear from people this morning who have questions, if you want to call, but also recipes. This is our monthly program on cooking with the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And he said this time around he was really interested in talking about and hearing from people about using whole wheat. So if you have a good recipe that uses whole wheat, you can give us a call and share that with us. Our number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line that is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. So at any point here, if you'd like to call in, you have a recipe to share, you just want to say hi, you know, you can do whatever you happen to want. It was something real quick, it just sort of came into my mind. Generally speaking, for making bread, people like to use hard wheat.
Yes.
And if you are making something like a biscuit, you use soft wheat.
Use soft wheat, yes.
Can you get hard whole wheat and soft whole wheat? Can you make
wheat biscuit? Oh, yes. I just happen to have a book here by the Kansas Wheat Commission, and it's open to wheat classes and products. Here you go. Hard winter wheat. It's grown in Kansas, and Kansas produces about 40% of the hard red winter wheat. That was the turkey red wheat that was brought by the Mennonites into the Kansas area a long time ago. It was the hard winter wheat that came from Russia. Then there is the soft winter wheat, and it only is grown in the eastern part of the state, the soft red winter wheat. The hard white that I'm pleased with is grown in the central and in the western parts of Kansas. Then there's a hard red spring wheat, but that's grown mostly in the north, like Nebraska and farther up north central United States. Then there is a soft white, which is preferred for flatbreads and cakes and pastries and crackers. And a soft white is low protein and is grown particularly in California Washington, Pacific Northwest. So, and Durum, which is the hardest wheat, which you use for spaghetti, macaroni, and other pasta stuffs, is grown mainly in Arizona and California. So we grow different wheats. And so in answer to your question, yes, there's a hard red winter, a soft red winter, a hard white, and a hard red spring, and a soft white. And each of those has a characteristic, lower in protein, higher in this. And so there you go.
Okay. We have a couple callers here we'll get to in just a moment. Also, we didn't want to take a second here to urge people to support the radio station. And it's amazingly enough, our station manager, program director, I don't know what that Elsie's doing this week. Jay Pierce is here in the studio. We don't usually have people this important stopping by here on the program. It's, you know, in our little backwater here at Focus 580. But we're pleased to have the station manager here. And if he can't convince you to support the station, well, I'm sorry. There's nothing else we can do.
You stop it.
Oh, all right.
All I'm going to do is say call 217-244-9455. If you value the services of our chef in residence here, Doyle Moore, coming in on a monthly basis to talk with you, to share recipes with you. It's all part of the dialogue that we have going on this program, Focus 580, that varies from, well, today talking about recipes and cooking with wheat. And another time you tune in, we'll be talking to a pediatrician, Dr. Bocek. We'll be talking about cars with Rick Karch. We'll be helping you with Sandy Mason in talking about gardening. And then another time you turn in, it may be a newsmaker, an author, an analyst of some kind on an important policy issue. It's all part of the dialogue that happens on Focus 580, but only with your support at 244-9455. Now, we have many business friends out there who support us, small businesses who think the WILL is a great thing for the community, and one of them is Peckham & Associates. And we have a challenge going on from them today that we'd like to announce here. And Maeve Riley is out in Pledge Central. And Maeve, why don't you tell us about this?
Sure. Peckham & Associates have been longtime business friends of WILL. And they enjoy the amazing variety of guests on and topics on Focus 580 and know that many others in the community do too. And if we get 15 pledges today during Focus 580, they'll add an additional $250 to our pledge total. So that's a great incentive to get people to go to the phone. We've heard from three people so far, Terry Margensky from Rossville, Patricia Phillips from Champaign, and a listener in Covington, Indiana. We thank you very much.
Great.
Give us a call now, 217-244-9455.
You know, I don't want to undervalue Focus 580 and everything it means to everybody who listens to it, the thousands who listen, and all of you who call in and participate in the program. But is it worth a dollar a week to you? Just a dollar a week? You know, think about that. A lot of us are used to buying a $3 latte, or what is it, David, that you get on the way into work every
day? That would be a double espresso.
A double espresso. And how much do you pay for that?
$2.
$2, okay. Well, is WILL worth a dollar a week to you? That would be if you only listen on weekdays, 20 cents, not $2, not $3, 20 cents a day. When you turn on Focus 580 and you listen for an hour or you listen for 2 hours, 20 cents. If you had to put two dimes into the radio to listen to Focus 580, would you do it? I know a lot of people who would. If you would, call right now, 244-9455. Let us know with a $52 contribution. And I want to especially encourage those of you who listen to the program but have never contributed to become a friend of WILL right now. You'll help us meet the challenge from Peckham & Associates. We're about 12 calls away from meeting that. So let's get those calls in right now, then enjoy the rest of the show with the knowledge that you're helping to bring this service not only to yourself, but to thousands of others throughout all of the communities WILL serves. You have built this radio station into what it is. It's in your hands now to preserve it into the future for you and future generations, for your neighbors down the streets, for your friends and relatives who listen. 244-9455. Call now. Help us meet that challenge. Your pledge goes that much farther. $52, that's like 20 cents a day if you only listen on the weekdays. I think it's an incredible bargain.
Hey, thank you, Jay. I also want to say thanks to Barbara. We appreciate that for the challenge that he made. And thanks to Maeve, and we'll talk some more a little bit later. This morning, it's the first Wednesday of the month and has been for a long time our great pleasure to talk about cooking. We always have a good time talking about cooking, different styles of cooking, different dishes, cooking from different places. Sometimes we feature on a particular ingredient. That's kind of what we're doing here with the show this morning. Generally speaking, with the same guest, the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He's the guy that comes up with the topics, and he said that he'd really be interested in talking about and hearing people talk about working with whole wheat. As he said, he just recently had found a pasta recipe that he really liked that turns out a good product. He's really happy with whole wheat pasta. And maybe there are some other things, and we have a couple of people here ready to go. You'd like to share with us a recipe for using whole wheat. That's what we'd like to hear. And the number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's for just the local folks here. We do also have the toll-free line, 800-222-9455. Let's talk with some folks here. And Muhammad is our first caller, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have had as a life goal to make whole wheat bread that my husband will eat.
Yes.
And if he's going to eat it, it has to make a good sandwich. It has to hold together, not break up and be all dry. And I think I've finally done it.
Oh, good, good.
And I do it with my bread machine, but I desert it halfway through the process. I make the machine knead it for me and do the first and second raise.
Yes.
But then I take it out, and I knead it again. Because I've just never made a good loaf in the machine. I've come up with too many hockey pucks, you know?
That, and then sometimes the Yes, I have the same horrible time with my machine, but you have to learn how to use it. But that's very smart. Take it out and finish it yourself. Yes.
Yeah, it saves a lot of work, and I just wanted to say a couple things that I've learned. It's keep your whole wheat products in the freezer.
Yes.
And if you're not going to use them, if you're going to use them right away, you can go with the fridge. But if you're not, the freezer is the way to keep it. And I've found that I add about a couple tables. I don't even have a particular recipe. I can take any bread recipe and take about, say it's a 4-cup recipe for the machine.
Yes.
Take 2 cups, just put your measure out there and put in maybe a quarter of a cup of potato flour.
Oh,
that
oh, okay.
really softens the texture.
Yes, it will.
Adds moisture. And put in your maybe a quarter of a cup of high gluten flour. And then you can just be creative. You can use your whole wheat red, your whole wheat white, kamut, a little bit of quinoa.
Oh, yes.
Just whatever. Just don't put too much of any one kind of strange flour, you know? And then your other 2 cups, I always use the regular King Arthur bread flour, unbleached white.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Otherwise, my husband isn't going to eat it. You know? And let's see if I've left anything out. Yeah, just doctor up half of any recipe and then follow the instructions. And it works, and I can make sandwiches that my husband takes to lunch out of my bread.
That's good.
And it keeps for a week. I do sometimes use a dough enhancer that I got from the King Arthur flour.
Oh yes, I know people that use it. I haven't done that.
I follow the instructions on it. Doesn't take very much of it at all, and it really seems to add to the keeping power of the bread. You know, to keep for a week without drying up or
molding. Oh yes.
So I really recommend it. And you can get a catalog that's really great from that website called Baker's Catalog.
Oh, that is a treat. You better have somebody in the room with you when you look at that because it's dangerous.
It is. It's great. It's like a primer of how to make bread.
Exactly, exactly. They've got lots of information. They're very good at it. They've been at it for a long time.
Well, I'll just hang up and listen.
Well, thank you very much. That was a great help.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go on to Downs, line number 4. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Doyle, I'm sure you know James Beard's Beard on Bread book.
Yes.
Have you ever made the William Melville Child's Health Bread?
No. Sounds good.
It is. You want the recipe?
Yes, please.
Okay, it's 2 packages of dry yeast.
2 packages of yeast.
2/3 cup warm milk.
Milk.
1 teaspoon of granulated sugar.
1 little tea of sugar.
2.5 cups boiling water.
2.5 cups of water. Boiling.
Yeah, 2 cups quick cooking oats. 2.5 cups whole wheat flour.
2.5 cups of whole wheat, yes.
3/4 cup dark molasses.
Oh, good.
Now, see, I'm not a big molasses.
Oh, really?
So I have in parentheses 1.5 cups. I'm not 1.5. I'm sorry. 1/2 cup brown sugar.
You add that
instead of the molasses.
Instead of the molasses, that's fine. That works fine. It's a good taste.
1.5 tablespoons butter or margarine.
Big teas of butter.
I would think you could use oil.
Mm-hmm.
1 tablespoon of salt.
Yes.
And 3.5 cups all-purpose flour.
3.5 cups all-purpose.
Now, I would think if you were using the light whole wheat.
Yes.
You could do the whole thing.
I think so, too.
With the white whole wheat.
I would, however, add a little bit of gluten to that because it's so devoid of that, and I'm not one to do that, but I happen to have. I called sister and she said, "Well, put some gluten in it." Well, there it was right there on my shelf. I had it. I had never really used it so much. But it made it so soft and pliable. I couldn't believe this is the noodles I was working on. I haven't put it into a bread yet.
Would probably do very
oh,
well.
I think so.
And you dissolve the sugar and the yeast in the milk.
Yes.
Pour the boiling water over the oatmeal.
Okay. That's what the boiling water is for.
Right. And allow it to cool. Now, what I have done is I've put, if I'm using butter, I put that in there too, and the sugar or molasses. I just.
Oh, yes. So you got all the liquid things together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just do that all together. And then you just proceed as you would for ordinary bread. After it cools a bit, add the yeast and then start adding the flour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The one thing that I have learned about making bread with whole wheat is that it absorbs water more slowly.
Yes, that's why I was saying that my bread machine wouldn't turn on because it sat there and was soaking up the water.
Uh-huh.
But that was a teeny-weeny note at the back of the book, and I was very upset until I found out that, yes, it does take more time, and you have to also even use more water sometimes than the recipe asks for.
When I do it by hand, and I don't have a bread machine, but I make a really soft dough.
Uh-huh.
And then I let it sit.
Oh, and then it would soak. It would
15 minutes.
Soak up quite a bit and become firmer,
right.
Yes.
And then I add the rest of the flour.
After I know what
the consistency is really going to be.
Uh-huh.
After a little bit of soaking time.
Great.
So, and that will help a lot. I found that people that I've told that to say it makes all the difference because you just add too much flour.
Yes.
And then the bread gets dry.
And you think it's going to all be this. You think everything is alike. But that's why I thought it would be interesting to hear some of the secrets that, yes, you have to do this because that's why you've never succeeded before. Yeah.
Right. You just have to give it a little more time. Glad you're doing this.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the call. And I think then we'll just go on here. The next person that we have here is in Gibson City. And line number two.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Yes. Well, back in the early 80s when my children were young, Joy of Cooking has this recipe called White Bread Plus, and they also had the Cornell triple rich flour formula.
Oh, yes.
But I didn't want just plain white bread, so what I did with the recipe was I put half wheat bread or half wheat flour with the bread.
Yes.
Or with the white flour. And then I used, for my shortening, I used vegetable oil.
Oh, all right.
And it made it, I don't know, like a softer bread.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say that. And then another thing to go along with the kids, to get the kids to, they enjoyed watching me make bread. So I got them their own little tuna fish cans, and they got to knead their own little.
Oh, great. Yes.
So they put their little piece of bread in a tuna fish can, so they each had their own little roll when I made my bread. So that, you know, I just wanted to let you know that, I changed that recipe. And I know that for my little kids at that time would have, a whole wheat bread would not have been their, you know, they probably wouldn't have eaten it. But I wanted something healthy, but yet something they would eat. So that's why I added the wheat flour to
the
white bread. I just wanted to let you know how I changed the recipe.
That's exactly what I'm interested in,
yeah.
Yes. Great.
Okay, well, I'm enjoying listening to you, and I enjoyed listening to that woman's recipe ahead of me. So.
Oh, yes.
And thank you for being on the show.
Okay,
right.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Other questions or recipes are certainly welcome. This is our monthly program on cooking. We do the first Wednesday of the month. Generally with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence who picks a particular topic. And this time around, he said, well, he's really interested in working with whole wheat and said he would be very much interested in hearing recipes that people might have that use whole wheat. And he gave his recipe for whole wheat pasta. And I really want to try this because as we discussed earlier, it's been a long time since I had whole wheat pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I had it last, it was not very good. And I thought, well, I have regular pasta. Why should I be having this whole wheat pasta? But now I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe this would be worth another try, particularly using the white whole wheat. So it would have a little bit different. It would have more of the look of regular
Yes, it isn't dark brown. It's light. Yeah. It's very light. In fact, I didn't dummy me. I got the whole wheat, and I kept asking sister. I said, well, where do I get the white whole wheat? Well, you just get it. I don't understand. She said, well, that's all that they make. If it's whole wheat, it's white whole wheat. I didn't know that, and it didn't say that on the package. And so anyway, I learned that.
Mm-hmm.
And because you open it up and you say, well, this just looks like an unbleached flour. You know, just a little creamy color.
So how do they do that? How is it that it looks – because when I think of
instead of a berry that is dark red and brown, the berry is white.
I see. Because that's really – it's what you're getting is you're getting some of the husk.
Yes, exactly.
That's around
the virtue of whole wheat is that you've got more fiber and more soluble stuff, and that's why as a health thing it's very good for you. See, we're of all the wonderful things in this country, the worst thing that we ever did was invent white bread. but everyone in the early days, by early days I mean middle Victorian anyway, so in the 1830s and 40s in that period, after we had sort of refined wheat, because even this mill that I'm fond of is only 150 years old, you know, and so you had coarser ground meals and a lot of cornmeal and coarse ground meals, and they made these very heavy, thumping things of bread. And so when all of a sudden they got this refined wheat that made a light fluffy loaf, the whole country just went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I do recall an older person when I was much younger saying, if you know, no, he wanted bread. He said, if I want cake, I'll order cake. and he really you know, shied away from the white bread, but then all of a sudden it became more and more, and then batter whipped and all that, and great quantities, and I love my friends who call it squish bread.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. And for a lot of us, you know, we might have grown up thinking, well, that was the bread. That's what you want.
Exactly.
And that a coarse, heavy, the kind of bread that now we say, you know, artisan breads.
Yes. Oh, see, and that's the new big thing. I'll tell you some good. There's no one trying to call right now. Here's trouble I got into in probably the last time it happened was I was in the eighth grade. I'd be sent out for some bread. And what does an eighth grader know about bread? There's bread on the table or there isn't bread on the table, and that's it. So I was sent out for some bread. Oh, I had to look at every package of bread. Well, now this is bread. Oh, this is whole wheat bread. Well, nothing is too good for my family. I'm going to get whole wheat bread. Now, my father did not like, we called it brown bread. He did not like brown bread that was manufactured. He did not like that. He'd throw it out. He wouldn't eat it. So we never had it very much in the house, and so I didn't recognize knowing that brown bread was whole wheat bread. So
I came home with
a loaf of bread. Now, did you carry it in a bag? No, I put it under my arm, and I was opening a candy bar on the way home. And by the time I got home, that poor bread was so squashed. Well, that happened more than once. I don't know why I didn't learn very well. But so I've always been reverent to whole wheat bread, nevertheless.
Let's see. All right. I'm surprised the first time someone didn't say, son.
Oh.
Let's talk about how you carry the bread home.
Oh, dear. You're right. I think in listening to a couple of the listeners, they have done what you're welcome to do, certainly, and that is take any recipe that you want to use and substitute some of the flour, maybe a maybe two-thirds of it. I'd go two-thirds. Sister says half, but I would go two-thirds and put the whole wheat flour in. And then if you use the other third of regular flour, you won't have to worry about extra gluten or anything like that. But that kind of defeats my goal of getting rid of the refined mm-hmm. flour. But that is a very good way to take care of a recipe and to give you a little side boost of the whole wheat with all the fibers mm-hmm. in it.
Well, now, didn't when we last talked and we had the show last time around where we had the nutritionist here.
Oh,
we
yes.
were talking about cooking for diabetics.
Yes.
Somebody called in and asked about strawberry shortcake. Did you not give a recipe for a whole wheat biscuit?
Oh yes,
that
I
you
did.
Could use
yeah. yes.
for a shortcake?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, come to think of it.
And do you remember?
Well, you know, but I'll give you. Yes, I do. The real secret of it is that you use one cup of Bisquick or Jiffy. Mix, because that's got the leavening in it and such. You don't need to add any more leavening, and then add the whole wheat flour as the remainder. I think you want two cups of flour in that particular product. So you just it's what I'm talking about is you use a little bit of what you would generally use, and then just add the extra flour. But you're going to need more liquid added to that. And but it's what I make the scones out of. And when Jeannie Redpath will be here, I should have made some scones and brought them.
That was it's only when somebody like Jeannie Redpath shows up, he thinks about making scones.
Well,
he wouldn't just for old Dave. He wouldn't make a scone, but no, Jeannie Redpath. Now that's different.
Keep tuned. yes. I used if you think that you've put too much flour in and that there won't be enough leavening, then add both baking powder and soda. Probably a teaspoon of each would be enough soda. And then if you use soda, then use buttermilk, and then you mix that up. And a little sugar. I use Splenda in any of its forms. A couple of packets will do it, or a quarter of a cup of the mixture will do it as well, and then fluff that up with a spoon. I tried to do it with my fingers, but they end up with who was it that calls it dough hands? Somebody on television. But use that, and then you can form it with your fingers anyway, and you make those nice crispy crunches. In the scones, I like to add fruit and nuts.
Into the dough. Into the dough?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
Whole walnuts. Don't chop them up. Oh, crunch down on a whole walnut that's been roasted inside that. Ooh. And dried cranberries. I do dried cranberries, though they're mean. They aren't quite as mean as raisins. Raisins are more sugar, right? Get kind of anxious.
Oh, that's what you see. I was thinking what you meant by mean. For you, you would be concerned about
yes.
the sugar.
Yes.
Not their innate aggressiveness.
You're right. Hey, this is more fun than car talk.
Well, I would say don't cook like Doyle. But, you know, maybe you actually should think about that. I don't know. Well, we have someone to talk with here in Vermilion County. Let's do that. Line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I thought you might be interested in how I handle some wheat, at least.
Yes.
Around the 4th of July, I go out to the combine where they are harvesting wheat.
Right.
And I get quite a quantity and store it in my freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I get ready to use it, of course, I clean out the ladybug blades and legs and things like that. And then I grind it in my blender.
Oh, in your blender?
Yes.
Okay.
My blender instructions said I could grind coffee, so I figured, well, I can grind wheat.
You're absolutely right.
So then I have, it's a crunchy wheat by
yes.
that time.
Yes, yes.
Then I primarily use that in a pancake mix.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I use about 6 cups of that home ground wheat And then I use three cups of the bread flour.
All right, so you mix the two flours, yes.
Yes, so I have about 9 cups of flour. And
do you put soda in that?
No, I don't.
Baking powder?
I use a 1/3 cup of baking powder.
Uh-huh.
A cup or maybe one to one and a fourth cups of the dry milk.
Oh, of dry milk, okay.
4 teaspoons of salt. And then I'm able to purchase powdered eggs.
Oh, yes.
And I put in
okay.
2 packages of my powdered eggs. They're dry. And then I cut in, when I mix all that together, then I cut in a cup of butter-flavored Crisco.
Oh, all right. Yes,
and
oil.
Then, then we're ready to go. Dip out what you need and add water.
Oh, just water. Oh, that's right, because you're doing liquid dry eggs and dry milk.
Yes,
and all. Well, I'm sort of sitting here laughing to myself because I say, hey, she knows how to cook for a thrashing crew. 6 cups of flour.
Oh, I do add another cup of soy flour.
Oh, uh-huh.
I put
uh-huh.
that in to boost the protein content.
Yes, that would be good.
And then, that's good for camping trips and I keep it on hand here.
Yes, you can have it all dry, and since all you're doing is adding water, you don't need to have you don't have to drag along buttermilk or milk or things like that.
No.
And you've got a nice mix. Oh, that's really very good.
But I thought.
And I like it that you grind your own wheat.
Yeah, and it gives it a much different texture.
Yes.
It's crunchy.
Now, do you let that sit a little bit when you've mixed it up? Do you let it sit?
If I have time, if I don't.
Well,
sometimes if I let it set, then I have to add just a little more water to it.
Yes.
To rehydrate the eggs and the milk and everything, I let it set a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. That's interesting. We about got to wrap up here, but it's interesting because one of our producers, Martha Deal, went to the library and she came back with a book titled Flour Power, A Guide to Modern Home Grain Milling.
Oh, yes.
For people. So I guess if you're interested in reading on that subject, there actually is a book that would tell you everything that you have to do.
Well, actually, there are 2 or 3 cultures that know exactly what to do.
Now, myself, I thought even Martha Stewart doesn't mill her own grain at home. But
if she wanted
to do that, well, I guess you could do that.
I mean, she didn't. Maybe she will now.
She has. Well, I said, I'm sure she has minions. She has people to do that for her. We're going to have to leave it there with our thanks to the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He's here, generally speaking, on the first Wednesday of the month. First hour, we talk about cooking. Will we see you in next month? In June?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I'll be here in June.
Very good. Well, good. Thanks.
Well, get on your computer and get some of those recipe books and check them out.
All right.
From what I'm listening to, I think that we're pretty healthy. Folks have apparently for some time with some of these listeners have taken old recipes and modified them.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you have to do, because I complained to the Kansas Wheat Commission. I said, look, this is a hot item. You need to get books out about how to cook with whole wheat, because people don't know, or maybe they do.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you next month.
Well, I'm going to go. Charge up my blender.
All right. Our show, Focus 580, made possible in part by Grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, with homemade pies by Inge, gourmet foods, cards and gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, the Bean Scene Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass. They are all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello. The show is made possible with support from the Art Mart in the Lincoln Square Mall, Urbana. The Art Mart is pleased to support public radio in East Central Illinois, and the broadcast is made possible by Grant from REMAX Realty Associates, currently handling over 30% of the real estate sales transactions in Champaign County. Information at 352-5700. REMAX encourages you to join them in supporting public broadcasting. That's what we're encouraging you to do right now. You can give us a phone call at 244-9455 and make a pledge. And in Pledge Central, with volunteers awaiting, our station manager, Jay Pierce. yeah, is also there.
Yeah, and Maeve Riley.
Yes.
And, you know, you mentioned the listener support to the radio station. It's about 50% right now. Oh, almost 50% of the budget now comes from listeners at 217-244-9455. And we have a lot of incentives beyond just the pure fact that you're helping to make programs like Focus 580 and visits by Doyle Moore possible. Another one is a challenge, Maeve, that we have going on.
Right. Peckham and Associates are great business friends of WILL, and they enjoy the amazing variety of guests and topics on Focus 580 and know many others who are listening do too. And they will contribute $250 when we get 15 pledges during Focus today. And so far we've heard from 6 people, so that means we have 9 more calls to go. So now's the time to get to the phone. Call 217-244-9455. And can I talk about our special drawing for the next hour?
Yeah, why don't you? You know, we have until noon, but we only have till noon to meet that challenge. So let's get those other calls going right now while we're in the break so you don't miss the next hour. It's going to be another great one. At 244-9455, you can pledge $52. That's a dollar a week, just 20 cents a day for Focus 580 each Monday through Friday. If you listen, would you put 20 cents in? A dime an hour. How about that? A dime for every hour of Focus 580. That'd be a $52 contribution for you at 244-9455. You can make it right now and know that you're helping to support the program that you listen to, you use, you depend upon, you enjoy. It inspires you. It lets you be part of the dialogue. And, yeah, next hour, very special. Go ahead.
Right, and Gene Redpath is going to be our guest on Focus 580, and you'll be entered into a drawing if you call now to receive one of 3 CDs entitled Then and Now by Gene Redpath. And, you know, I know Doyle is a special guest, too, but he didn't bring David any scone. So I'm sure you want to get in on this drawing for Gene Redpath CD, Then and Now.
All right. Everybody who calls within the next hour, 244-9455, and the area code's 217, will get in on the drawing. And, David, are you still hanging around here?
I'm still here.
You can say a word or two.
Well, one thing I did want to mention real quick before we go to the market report, just because it kind of hooks up to the topic that we'd had here this morning, is that on the Afternoon Magazine today, we'll talk about thinking outside the pot, a line we stole from the guest. His name is Robert Wolk. He writes about science in the kitchen and has produced a sequel to his best-selling book, which is titled What Einstein Told His Cook. Among the questions he looks into are things like this. Where does simmering end and boiling begin? And what is essential about an essential oil? Well, you can find out if you tune into the Afternoon Magazine in the 1 o'clock hour today. And also, then later on, back in the kitchen for some ideas for a party for Mother's Day. That's today on the AFTMAG. We've got a break now, though. We have an update on the market, so stay tuned.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is proud to underwrite agriculture.